Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. John chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. Now keep in mind while we read and study this passage, the topic, the world's sins. The world's sins. John chapter 15, verse 22, let's read. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture because it shows you something about what the world was doing back in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be able to conclude by the time we get to the end of this lesson today that the world hasn't changed at all. It's still doing the same thing now that it did back then. You see, when Jesus came, one of the main things he did is that he stripped away the cloak of the sin of the Pharisees and of the world. Here in verse 22, he said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, you've got to understand something. Oftentimes, when Jesus Christ says something, it is easier, much easier to understand in the context of the subject matter. It's always better to do that than it is to make some assumptions. Obviously, before the Lord Jesus Christ came, these men were sinners, because sin has been in the world ever since Adam and Eve, you know, and has operated all the way through. That's why there were sacrifices in the Old Testament and sins that were pointed out, sins for violating the Sabbath, sins for murder, sins for witchcraft, sins for offering the wrong kinds of sacrifices, sins of adultery, sins of bearing false witness, all those kinds of things were in the Old Testament. But he says here, he identifies a particular sin. You'll see it in the context. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. That is, he has by his coming, pointed out a particular sin that the world had. And this particular sin that the world had was one that was so well disguised, they didn't believe they had it, and nobody else would have believed that they had it. But Jesus Christ stripped away the cloak of that sin so that it was obvious both to them and to everybody else that they, and now the world, has this sin. You see, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, they pretended to love God. Actually, that's the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first command. And for the most part, they, by the profession of their mouth, by their dress, by their going to the synagogue, by their handling scriptures, you know, the phylacteries they had either on their wrist or their forehead, all that stuff, they had all the appearance of loving God. They pretended to love God, but in fact, they really didn't, and this was not so obvious until Jesus Christ came and stripped away the cloak of their sin. And when he did, their big sin was made obvious. You know what the big sin was? Hatred. Hatred. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. They hated the Lord thy God. They hated him. And it was not obvious, and it was hidden well in the cloak. But when Jesus Christ came, that stripped it away, and boom, there it was. You know, Paul said, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So in essence, Jesus is saying, they wouldn't have known that they hated my Father and that they hated me as much as they did until I come, or until I came. But when I came, when Jesus Christ came, that sin became obvious. It became very obvious. And before that, it was there, it just wasn't so obvious. And boy, there was no more excuse. You know, in looking at the text, you see they hated several things. Hatred permeated their very being. The first thing that they hated in the context is they hated Jesus Christ. Now, nobody would have known that. You know, over there in the Old Testament, it said, a virgin shall bring forth a son. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace, those kind of things. Nobody would have realized that when he actually showed up, that they would have hated him. As a matter of fact, in reading those things, they would say, oh, you know, we can't wait till the Messiah comes, and we're going to love him so much, and, you know, ba-da-da-da-da. The truth of the matter is, they hated him. Look in verse 23. He that hateth me, see that? Hateth my Father also. He that hateth me. Now, Jesus Christ made it plain. He didn't say, they don't like me very much. He didn't say, they don't love me. He said, you know, they would rather have a different Messiah. He said it just plain right there where you and I can get it. He said, they hated or hateth me. He that hateth me. Hate. You got it? H-A-T-E, the bad word. They hated Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, which we studied recently, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, that's a word that the world doesn't like today. The world does not like that word hate. You'll get on there and you'll say something. They'll say, oh, don't say that word. As a matter of fact, they've got a law now. It's called a hate crime. It's a hate crime if you say anything bad about anybody else who gets offended. Now, if they had had a law like that back in these days, you know that nobody would have prosecuted that law against Jesus Christ. In other words, there were many people that hated him, but if there had been some legal action taken, there were so many people that hated him, they would have found a way to throw it out of court or get it into a court and a court of appeals and a Supreme Court that would have overturned it based on some technicality. It's kind of the way things function today, or at least it seems that way, doesn't it? So they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ in John chapter 5, verse 16, he healed an impotent man that was there by the sheep market, you know, in the pool. And in John chapter 5, verse 16, after he healed this impotent man, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. So they wanted to kill him. See, now that's because they hated him. Of course, when Jesus Christ brought that hatred to their attention and brought to their attention the desire that they had to kill him, they lied about it. They denied it. In John chapter 7, verse 19, Jesus asked the question, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Well, of course, that's a lie. Thou hast a devil. Who goest about to kill thee? They did. And eventually they succeeded. They went about to kill him, and yet they lied right to his face when he called their hand and asked them the question, why are you trying to do something that is contrary to the law? Now, these men were very subtle, and they knew when they finally did catch Jesus Christ and attempted to kill him, and it did eventually kill him, they really wanted to make sure that they would capture him at a time when there wasn't a big mob around. They were going to try to get him at night and get him in a secret place. And so when Judas Iscariot came along and agreed to betray Jesus Christ, he betrayed him at night to avoid the mob scene. And that's because they knew that a lot of the people liked Jesus Christ, and they didn't want to have to contend with the people. They wanted to work that deal out another way. Very subtle, very clever, very underhanded. Now, you know, there are a lot of people like that today. They say they love God, but in fact, if they knew who he really was, or they say that they love Jesus Christ, but if they really knew who he was or listened to him speak the way that he did to the Pharisees back in those days, they would feel the same way today as the Pharisees did back then. And so they hated Jesus Christ. They hated him because of things like John chapter 7, verse 7. You know, hatred is, that's a big word, but it's a true word. A lot of people say, they say, you hate so-and-so. Oh, I don't hate him, you know, I don't hate him. Well, nobody likes that accusation. You know, it's got that stinger in it. Jesus Christ said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Now, if Jesus Christ were here today, he would point out that homosexuality is evil. Why? Because the book that he wrote, the book that has his Father's name all through it, the book that was inspired and is inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that homosexuality is wrong. And so when Jesus Christ would come here and testify of this world that homosexuality is wrong, then they would hate him for that, see, because they hate people who say that today. If Jesus Christ were here and he said to the government officials who have committed adultery that they were wrong for what they had done, then he would be like John the Baptist was to Herod. And, you know, they locked up Herod in prison. They wouldn't have liked that, you see, about Jesus Christ. And if we've got a number of Pharisees that are in religious circles today, and Jesus Christ would point out to them that they were hypocrites and blind guys leading the blind and things like that, and they wouldn't like him for that. They would hate him for that. And pretty soon, there would be a great movement to kill Jesus Christ. But you see, right now they play up like they like him because they have this birthday party to Jesus Christ on December the 25th, which really has just become a commercial fiasco. December the 25th was really Baal's birthday. It has to do with worshiping the sun god. It has nothing to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet somehow we all get caught up in, you know, oh, little town of Bethlehem and all those kind of things. And if Jesus Christ were here and decided that he wanted to tell you and me and this world what he really thought about all of these things that are going on based upon what's written in the Bible, then all of a sudden there would be a great movement to, you know, disband the birthday and get it off the calendar and kill the Savior. It's no different today than it was back then. They hated him for clearing out the temple. They hated him for professing that he was the Son of God. They reviled him when he was hanging on the cross. You know why? They hated him. And they don't feel any differently about him today than they did back then. It's just that they don't see him today. And so they can pretend to love him today, but they really don't. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ never shows up in the newspaper for the great things that he's done, all the people that he's still healing, and all the people that he's still saving. You don't read any of that stuff in the headline articles. With athletics and all that other kind of stuff, you know, people still marvel when there's a spiritual man who will pray and ask God to help him when he's playing and thank God when he scores a touchdown or something like that. And that's a great novelty. But for the most part, it's a show of the flesh. They really don't care anything about Jesus Christ. But that's not all. They didn't only hate Jesus Christ. They hated his Father. He said in verse 23, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Now, those are really strong words because, you know, today people will say, oh, well, no, we want to have separation of church and state so the people can still use the name of God. We just don't want God's name used anywhere around government things, you know. And so there's this big controversy. But truthfully now, the truth of the matter is they pretend that it is just a constitutional matter. The truth of the matter is they hate God. You say, well, why? How could you say that? Well, history repeats itself, and I'm not pointing my finger at any specific person. I don't know who to point my finger at specifically, because it seems to be there are so many. But I just know how it was back in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ were here, or here we are doing our job, we find out there are a lot of people that don't like him. They use his name regularly, but usually they attach a last name that has nothing to do with God himself. They say G.D., you see. They'll use his name frequently, but it's a cuss word. The Pharisees were very deceived about their love of God. They got in a big argument with Jesus Christ in John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus Christ said, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father. See, watch this. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? So they were real deceived. They said, We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said, If God were your Father, you would love me. So what's the deal? The truth of the matter is they hated Jesus Christ's Father. They wouldn't admit that. Oh, we have one God, the Father. And we have Abraham. Well, Jesus said, if that were the case, you'd love me. All right, then, that weren't the case. They hate me. They hate my father. Well, that's strong words. You know that? I mean, these are the religious Pharisees going down to sacrifices, the synagogue, you know, the big show and display, the phylacteries, the long robes, the greetings in the marketplace, all that junk. You know what it was? It was nothing but a show of outward appearance. There was nothing of God in it at all. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Now wait a minute. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Let's see now, was anything like that going on in the New Testament? Well, in fact, it was. Go to Matthew chapter 15, and notice Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus Christ got into a discussion with the Pharisees and with the scribes, and he said this, Matthew 15, 4, For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So he said, Your worship is nothing but vanity. You talk a good talk, but you have no heart for me. And he applied it from Isaiah to the Pharisees. And, you know, John spoke about this. He said, now, wait a minute. If you can't love your brother whom you see, and Jesus Christ came as a Jew, they were Jews. He said, if you can't love your... And he gave them every reason in the world to love them. He fed them. He healed them. He cast out their devils. And he never made a stink about anything until they just crossed him. And then he said, okay, here you are, just like this. And he told the truth. All right, he did all those things, lip service. You know what happened? He said, that thing back there in Isaiah is you. You talk a good talk, but your heart is far from me. You hate my father. And John said, listen, if you hate your brother whom you have seen, Jesus Christ was their brother, then you can't love God. Because if you can't love your brother whom you've seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? Answer, you cannot. You cannot. Not only did they hate his father and hate him, they hated his works. Pilate knew when Jesus Christ was delivered to him to be tried and then crucified that he was delivered for envy. And you read a lot about how this all took place in John chapter 11, verse 47. By John chapter 11, verse 47, Lazarus had already been healed. And watch what happened. The chief priest then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. Oh, you see what the problem is? They hated his works. This man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Oh, boy. You see, in the text we're studying today, Jesus said in verse 24, If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. So it was the works of his miracles and their response to those miracles that reveal the true condition of their heart. They hated his works. Caiaphas in John chapter 11, beginning with verse 49, goes on and says, wait a minute, you guys don't understand anything. One man should die for this nation. One man's going to die for this nation. And in verse 53, then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Why? Because they hated his works. Listen, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and in John chapter 12, verse 9, a lot of people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, who had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So they were going to kill Lazarus as well. Why? Because he was a work that Jesus Christ had done. He raised him from the dead. They hated Jesus Christ. They hated his Father. They hated his works. In Luke chapter 13, he raised a woman up, not from death, but she had been bowed down 13 years or 18 years with an infirmity caused by the devil. She was stooped over. And he healed her in Luke 13, verse 12. And immediately she was made straight in verse 13 and glorified God. Now in verse 14, the ruler of the synagogue, oh, there's our buddy, answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond of the Sabbath day? Now when he said all these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Boy, they hated him for that. Man, they hated him for that. You know what? You've got to remember this, but it was on the Sabbath day that Jesus Christ cleansed the temple. Those Pharisees, those hypocrites, were exchanging money and selling things in the temple on the Sabbath day. They were accusing him of doing something bad on the Sabbath day. He laid them out, boy. You know what? His works testified that those guys were sinners, and they hated him for it. He had done works that no man had ever done. Nicodemus testified of that. The blind man testified of that. They said no man could. If he weren't of God, he could not do these things. But not only did they hate him and hate his Father and hate his works, they also hated his deity. Look at the last half of verse 24. Now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Boy, that's the part of him they really hated. They knew that he was from God. They knew it. But they saw what he had done in John chapter 10 as an example. Look in verse 32. John chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? You see that? Leads in from what we just studied. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Ooh, boy. He was God. He is God. Oh, but they hated him. You're a man, and you're God. That's his deity. You see, there are a lot of people that hate his deity. When you talk to somebody that is of a religion that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and you say that Jesus Christ is God, and if they don't believe in the Trinity or they don't believe that, brother, I'm telling you, you'll shoot them up like a Roman candle. You want to find out where they stand, ask them that. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh? Do you believe that he is God Almighty, one with the Father, he and God Almighty and the Holy Spirit are all the same God in three different persons? You ask them that question, you'll find out right quick where they stand. And if they say, well, you know, he's not really God, you know, blah, 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 he was a son of God and that kind of stuff, then I'm going to tell you what, you are dealing with somebody who out of his lips is professing some sort of an honor toward Jesus Christ or love toward Jesus Christ, but you're dealing with a hypocrite. According to what you're seeing here, they hate God the Father and they hate Jesus Christ, but you wouldn't believe it listening to their mouth unless you found out where they stood on the deity of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, that's why I get suspicious with a lot of these modern translations. In numbers of places where the deity of Jesus Christ is clearly expressed, like Luke 2:33 or 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 as an example, or in John chapter 1 verse 18, they change the verse and destroy the clear reference to the deity of Jesus Christ. And when somebody does that, they may have a godly profession, but I really doubt the sincerity of their heart. Just like these Pharisees right here who had a godly profession until it came down to whether or not Jesus Christ was God, and then they're ready to kill him. Amen. They got up there on the trial, and the high priest ripped his cloak open like that, and he said, "What need we of further witnesses? You've heard him yourself. He professed to be the Son of God." And then he's hanging up there on the cross, and they say, "If you be the Son of God, get yourself down." All that reviling going on. They hated his deity. Nothing's changed. Not only that, not only did they hate his Father, and hate his works, and hate his deity, they also hated his Scripture. They hated his Scripture. It says here, these things were done in verse 25, "This cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law." It's in their law. "They hated me without a cause." They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. That's in Psalm 69, verse 4. They didn't believe that. You know how come I know they hated his Scripture? Because that Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." And they could not go to trial for murder and then until they had two witnesses that agreed. And they never got that. They violated the law concerning false witnesses. They violated the law concerning the death penalty. They violated the law concerning killing a man. They hated his Scripture. Why? Because it bound them to do something they were not willing to do. Mark chapter 7, verses 8 to 13, you ought to read it. They made his Scripture of none effect. They made his Scripture of none effect. They rejected the commandment of God. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. They hated his Scripture. And you know something? Nothing has changed today. Verse 26 says, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." When the Holy Spirit testifies the same things that Jesus did, when you testify the same things, they hate you. They hate you for doing it, just like they hate his Holy Spirit, just like they hated him, just like they hated his Father, just like they hated his works, just like they hated his deity, just like they hated his Scriptures. 5 million Christians died in the Inquisition. Multiple millions of martyrs died in the hands of communism. And Acts chapter 4, verse 18 shows you a council that was put together by the Jews that said, "You will not preach in the name of Jesus." That's the name they hate. You just go around using that name, testifying to people they need to get saved by that name. You'll find out where this world stands on Jesus Christ right quick. And we encourage you to do that because this whole world needs Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.